This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready, my friends. We've got a jam-packed Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. So much to get to, and glad to have you along for the ride. A long time, three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and Michael, we missed you yesterday.
I'm getting alerts as soon as the show starts off.
Well, that's got to be a good thing.
Jamar Chase is just sore. He's just sore. It's going to be okay. Good morning, Stormy. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. Better than Jamar Chase's sore back, it appears. But I was just saying, we missed you yesterday. But when, obviously, football done right is in high demand. And so when people are calling you, you got to get out there and keep promoting the book. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice quick trip in and out of San Antonio. Nice time. Nice visit. Came back. I got caught in the airport. I get McAfee calls me on the phone. It's amazing. You get to do his, I don't even know what the hell he was calling me about. But I was doing the book fair and somebody said, hey, they're talking about you going back to New England. I'm saying, I ain't going back anywhere. I can just tell you, I'm trying to get out of San Antonio today. That's where I'm going.
That was great, though. You're walking through the airport on FaceTime. You know, the thing that people don't understand about Bill Belichick, so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, life goes on, and we're here. We got week 10 of the season start. We didn't have a chance to recap Monday night. I mean, everybody was on the Jets, which when they put that graphic up at the Worldwide Leader where they're all on one team, you should immediately dash to the window, and know you're going to cash that ticket. You just know it. Now, I mean, if it's the Giants versus the Cowboys, I would say don't do that. I don't think there's ever going to be a sentence you feel good about if you're saying Tommy DeVito's our starting quarterback for the rest of the year. Could you imagine standing in front of America and saying that? I feel bad. I don't mean to be harsh on Tommy DeVito. I really don't. But, you know, it does require a elite skill set to be a starting quarterback in the league. I mean, Clayton Toon last week, 48. I mean, that was not fair to him. Is this going to be fair to Tommy DeVito?
Okay, so Michael, geez, so many ways that I can go with this. But how about we start because some
with
big
the rundown stay on course.
I'm going to try to
jumping all over
I'm
the place.
I'm going to keep us on course
Caesar's
with the rundown.
Caesar's probably already mad at me. Yes, Caesar's already mad at me.
So you mentioned Clayton Toon. And in addition, yes, to recapping Monday night, yesterday the news became official that the Arizona Cardinals are going to go ahead and move forward with Kyler Murray at quarterback. And we've had a lot of discussions on this show about the injury guarantees. Should he get hurt if he goes back out there on the field and plays and doesn't pass his physical come March, those guarantees, millions of dollars all of a sudden get locked in. How surprised were you when you saw that? Hey, let's move forward. Let's give Kyler a shot now that he's back fully healthy. We're going to activate him to the roster.
Well, I think that last part of your sentence, I don't know if that's true. I watched him move around. He didn't look fully healthy to me. Now, this is going to be my Hall & Oates play this week without a question of a doubt because there's too much uncertainty. You can't play Atlanta and assume that they're going to be okay. And you can't play Arizona and assume that Murray's going to be back to where he was when he left the game. Like, there's just too much here. Like, Murray wasn't playing at a high level when he hurt his knee. Forget about now that he comes back off the knee. Does he have his quickness? Does he have his acceleration? Does he have his explosiveness? Can he avoid tacklers? Those are all things that I have serious doubts about. And when I watched him move around, the little bit that I did, he didn't look good doing it. He didn't look the same. Now, he could have been loafing, and I understand that, and he could have been duping everybody. But I find this hard to believe that they're going to let him go out there and risk 90-some million dollars of future earnings. And they're not even sure he's going to be the quarterback. Now, what they're probably saying to themselves is, look, we know we could trade him. If we get the first pick overall in the draft, we'll probably be able to get some huge asset. Because let's face it. I mean, we're going to talk about it later in the show. How many bad quarterbacks are playing in the league? As much as you may not like Kyler Murray, as much as you may not like his contract, he's going to be better. I mean, Derek Carr got $40 million in the market last year.
But so help me talk through the contract side of it all. Because if you do, like, let's say he goes out there, plays great. He ups his trade value in the market. Like, the numbers of the cap hit and dead cap hit that you have in 2024 is significant. Like, $81.5 million in dead cap next year. Like, is that a tradable contract in your mind?
Well, it depends on that dead cap is all, it's not, it's all centered on what is guaranteed. Right now, that looks guaranteed, but if it doesn't become guaranteed and it's only injury guaranteed and he's healthy, that number's not as high as that. So it comes down a little bit. Look, I mean, the Giants are going to count next year. What are they going to, $36 million? They got to count on their cap of guaranteed money for Daniel Jones. This is the problem you get into when you have a contract with a quarterback and he gets hurt. It's just the reality of it all. There's no escape. Like, there's no wiggle room for the Giants. There is wiggle room in this contract only because if they decide to not have him on the team on the fifth day of the league year, they get away with some of those guarantees and they basically eat the signing bonus of which they gave him. That's the only thing they got to eat. The future seasons isn't that dramatic.
So as far as things go for this week, you say it's the Hall & Oates play. I can't go for that. We're going to stay away from it. But right now, Arizona is getting 1.5 points against the Falcons, total 42.5. You mentioned the last time that we saw Kyler Murray, right? And yes, we know he's a 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year, threw for over 3,700 yards, 3 seasons in a row, touchdown interception ratio around 2-1 for his career. But the last time we saw him, let's remember that the Arizona Cardinals were 3-8 at the time of his injury. He was averaging a career low 6.1 yards per pass attempt, had 7 interceptions. It was kind of a dumpster fire. We were seeing the signs of regression all season, it felt like, that year. Now he's coming off of the torn ACL. You anticipate rust. I know it's not nearly as long of a time away as we saw from Deshaun Watson, but when Watson came back, I mean, it's taken a long time for him to get back to speed. And now he's also learning a new scheme that you're throwing into that as well. What's your anticipation on the field for Kyler Murray out the gates?
Well, let's go back to why he didn't have a good year last year. I think a lot of this started at the end of the year before in 21 when they were a playoff team. And they played Seattle at home in the last game of the year. And Seattle beat them. And Seattle wasn't a good team at this time, but they beat them. They rushed them a certain way, and they really curtailed any ability that he had to make plays. They made him a pocket passer. Then he goes to Los Angeles in a playoff game. I know the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl that year. However, that being said, this was not a good game. This was not a close game whatsoever. And so now, you know, people understand how to play him. So you go into the 22 season, and basically, you know, nobody's really worried about him in terms of we got to keep him in the pocket. Nobody's really worried about him. He's not going to beat you from the pocket. You got to keep him in there. I mean, last year against... So he goes up to Seattle in week six of the season. He throws for .171, you know, and Seattle knows how to play him. And so it becomes very challenging. All these teams that know, once you go through the cycle and you play against them a bunch, then all of a sudden there's really no answer. And that's where I think he is. And that's where I think it's going to be a problem. His height's a problem. And if he doesn't have that elite road runner type beep, beep, get out of the way, make plays, he's not a pocket passer. This is going to be a challenge.
So 8 games now, theoretically, if he stays healthy, to evaluate Murray in the eyes of the new regime. I wonder, too, if, like, obviously so much has been made about Kyler Murray off the field and his attitude in the video games and all the different things. But when you go through an injury like this, you see a lot of players come back with like a newfound love of the game. And when you don't have it, you want to be a part of it that much more. So I wonder if he is energized and tries to prove that he wants to be a part of this franchise. I don't know, but I also do know that at 1-8 right now, the Arizona Cardinals are sitting in the opportune spot to have the number one overall pick in next year's draft with some premier talent coming out. So like, if I'm Monty Austin Fort and I'm Jonathan Gannon, like my wheels are just turning like crazy right now. It's a lot with Kyler Murray right now.
No question. And what you have to do, if you're Monty, you've got to compare Murray, what you know of him, to whatever quarterback's available in the draft. That's what you have to do. That's what you should do all the time, because you have to ask yourself, is this kid better than I? Now, I think they'll be able to get picks. You know, and they got Chicago sitting there at 2 and 3. People say, well, Chicago should trade one of those and get, they shouldn't. The interesting team's going to be, what do the Giants do? You know, what do the Giants do? They got to pick a quarterback. Good luck trying to convince them of that. How about New England? We know they'll pick one. The Rams, they'll pick one. Green Bay's another one. I mean, all those teams sitting right there, there's a reason they're sitting there, Stormy, is because they don't have good quarterbacking play. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, Sam Howell's a fifth-round pick, but he's actually played well. Mac Jones is a first-round pick. He hasn't played well. Jordan Love's a first-round pick. He hasn't played well. The reason you're sitting there is because your quarterback hasn't played well. You know, everybody wants to go somewhere where they have a great quarterback, right? Well, I mean, that's great. But what jobs open up that have a proven quarterback? Not many.
Mel Kiper reports as many as 7 quarterbacks are considered first rounders, according to NFL executives. I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize they felt there were that many, and there are certainly that many quarterback needy teams. Caleb Williams, the favorite to go number one, although the juice in that has kind of come down, Michael, minus 360 right now for Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Drake May was 5-1. Now he's sitting plus 250, but other names, obviously, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, the list goes on. A lot of quarterbacks are coming out in this class that could be potential targets for those teams that need it.
Yeah, and I mean, they're all going to go. I mean, they're all going to go because where are you going to get one? Part of the problem is when you take over a team like Gannon did, right? You got to start that rebuilding program with the quarterback. It's one of the reasons why Eberflus, if he doesn't make it through the years, they were counting on Fields to be a good player. When he doesn't turn out, you lose your job.
You know,
I mean, look at the Raiders. They get rid of Carr, and then they go Garoppolo, and they lose your job.
I'm just disappointed. I wanted Clayton Tune to start so we could fade Arizona the rest of the way. I was really looking forward to it, and now I have all of these questions. We have a lot more quarterback talk when we return, and yes, we'll get to Michael's favorite player, the Tommy DeVito out of it all, next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
No better time of year to be a sports bettor, and only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the College of Pro games every single week. If you signed up today, you'll get access to our daily best bets here at VSiN with a leaderboard to see which expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now. You get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st, only $120. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can sign up. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. And we just saw it come through. Official. It looks like Tyson Bagent will be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. Justin Fields still dealing with issues gripping the football from that dislocated thumb. And before we hit the break, we were talking about the under being a potentially good play in this game, sitting 38.5. The Bears are a 3.5-point favorite right now. But unders have been the play, Michael, especially on primetime. 21-7, hitting at a 75% clip. The last 4 weeks specifically, 9-1 to the under. Sunday night and Monday night have been 16-3, so that's not going to apply to this Thursday night contest. International games 4-0. I mean, all season long it's been like this, it seems. You look at those numbers in front of you on your screen for the season, 61.2% to the under, and it just gets better and better from week 3 and week 5 with those first early weeks odds makers kind of trying to get a read on how games are going to be. So unders have been the play. Is there anything that you've seen watching the league through these first 10 weeks, Michael, that tell you a reason as to why that's been the cause?
Bad quarterbacking play, you know, and I think coach is trying to protect their team from losing by eliminating the quarterback making mistakes. I think that's part of it. I think that's one of the reasons scores are driven down, because you get down there. Like the Jets have been a perfect example. You know, they would move the ball in the red zone, and then they don't want Wilson to make a mistake, so they get very conservative down there. And making plays in the red zone requires taking some chances. You know, you got to make some accurate throws. I mean, like this game on Thursday night, the under's got to be in play with Badgett in there, you know, who turned the ball over really too much last week, or else they have a chance to beat New Orleans. I mean, this is two teams that have played their best defense the last 2 weeks, right? The Panthers have. They've given up 34 points. This Bear defense has improved. You know, the one thing the Panthers have to do is be able to stop the run. And without Brian Burns, you know, in there, that'll affect him in the passing game. They'll be a little bit more physical. C.J. Henderson's going to be. They've got a bunch of guys missing the game. Their injury report isn't very good. But I just think, to me, this is too good this is good defense against bad offense, which usually lends itself to an under.
And a pair of rookie quarterbacks that are going to be on display, which has been a theme this year, with Tommy DeVito, who's expected to start for the Giants this week against Dallas, Michael. It'll be a record in the NFL with 10 different rookies starting games in a single season. We talk about poor quarterback play. A lot of that has to do with lack of experience for these guys that have had to come in tough situations.
Right, but DeVito's played. I mean, the one thing, I think DeVito's got 38 career starts. He started at Syracuse. He played at Illinois. You know, so he's played, but the problem is, can you play effectively, right? And then you have some guys who, you know, Gardner Minshew's played a lot, but, boy, there's times he just doesn't play very good. You just can't get consistent quarterback. Yeah. Like Josh Dobbs, right? Comes in off the bench, doesn't know the plays, makes plays left and right. Do you trust him next week against New Orleans, Stormy? Do you? I mean, I don't know. Do you trust him? To me, it seems like,
I'm not rushing to the window, but I don't mind teasing up that 2.5.
I didn't see you. I didn't see you waltzing up there. Yeah, I mean, this is what happens. You get a chance to play. Like Will Levis, okay? He's got 2 game tapes. We've seen him against Pittsburgh. We've seen him against Atlanta. People start to see, okay, who is he? What's he going to do? To me, you know, the question we didn't talk about after Monday night is, you know, nobody mentioned it on television, was for all the fanfare about how great the play caller is for the Chargers and the designer in our man Kellen Moore. That was as bad as I've seen Justin Herbert look in his entire – and it really wasn't the Jets' defense that made him look bad. I wasn't sure what they were trying to accomplish on offense.
It was the lowest passing yardage of his career for Justin Herbert was that game. And I think it's interesting you bring that up because, yeah, most of the attention coming out of Monday night – was just all about the Jets and how bad they looked. And everybody talks about the Jets defense, despite looking into the deeper numbers about them being an elite group. And so that's kind of the expectation. But that offense really, really struggled. I mean, the Jets actually outgained the Chargers in that game, despite losing by 21 points in it. But okay, I think that this is an interesting conversation talking about quarterback play, because that has translated to your power rankings that we update every single week in terms of the number. And you look at the top 5 that have largely quarterbacks that we, with the exception of the San Francisco 49ers, that we consider elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. And then the bottom 5 are the latter.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, everybody can cling to the Purdy's the 7th rounder, but the kid plays pretty well compared to the rest of the market. I mean, Josh Allen throws an interception, nobody complains. He's lead the NFL in interceptions this year. He's one ahead of Baker Mayfield for interception. No one brings it off. Brock Purdy throws one, he's a 7th round pick. Like, at some point, we got to stop that nonsense, right? The guy plays really well. His numbers are really good. And so when you break down these teams, when you look at the top 5 teams, that's all about their quarterback, right? I mean, their quarterbacks can play really well, whereas look at the bottom 5 teams. Caesar, you can put that graphic up there. I mean, tell me where they're getting quarterbacking play.
Yeah.
I mean, New England's got a 4th and 7th. That Tyron Thornton runs a really good route, runs like a sail post, like a sail route. Wide open by 2 feet, but at least a high school wide open. Let me put it that way. And Mac Jones can't complete it. You know, Bryce Young throws 2 pick-sixes. Tyson Badgett ends up turning the ball over 5 times. Cardinals, Clayton Toon coaching malpractice. I mean, we talk about Tommy DeVito. That's just not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go in there with Micah Parsons and they can't really run the ball. I mean, that's not fair. I mean, you're better off running the single wing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for the Giants. You feel, I mean, and there's only so much you can feel for the leadership group out there because they made their bed and now they have to sleep in it when it comes to the Daniel Jones contract. But having him get injured multiple times in different ways, Tyrod Taylor, their backup, who was at least like doing enough to give them an opportunity to win, even though it was still ugly in that standpoint, he gets hurt. So now you're stuck with this situation. And for Arizona, yeah, Clayton Toon put in a great situation against one of the best defenses in the NFL last week against the Browns. And so that was an ugly look. So there's your bottom 5, New England, Carolina, Chicago, Arizona, and the New York Giants, who are just going like down based on their injury situation, to the top 5, where we do have some shakeup. And you, based on your numbers, now have officially the Baltimore Ravens as your top team in the National Football League.
You know, they are really good in so many categories, Stormy. And when you break them down, they keep improving. I mean, they have made a giant step forward compared to where they were a week ago. I mean, a week ago when I have my numbers, I mean, you know, you're sitting there thinking about, oh, well, you know, they're just not quite as good, or they didn't do this. No. They're really good, and they really do an incredible job, and they're able to get pressure on the quarterback the way I wrote in my notes. I mean, you know, you look at Jadeon Clowney, he's playing really well, and you look at Kyle Van Noy, he's already got 6 sacks for their team. I mean, they have really played well. In the last 5 weeks, they're one of the best teams in the league, and, you know, whereas they make everybody look bad. This line is at 6, Stormy,
yeah,
against Cleveland, you know, and Watson's playing. There's no doubt about it. And I feel like it's a trap. I feel it's like the time when Kansas City played the Chargers at home when they were a 5.5-point favorite, right? You know, and everybody, me included, oh, you got to take the Chargers. They're going to be, it'll be a close game. They play each other close, yada, yada, yada. Well, do they? You know, that didn't cover. And so to me, the way they're playing right now, the way Baltimore's playing right now, and can Cleveland do anything against them? That remains to be seen.
Baltimore number one. You still have Kansas City there in the top two, number two. The 49ers, despite being on this 3-game skid, they're coming off a bye at 3. Philadelphia 4, and the Cincinnati Bengals are officially up there in the standings at 5. They're a 6.5-point favorite against the Texans this week. So actually seeing some people take that 7 with Houston, and that Cincinnati might not cover that 6-point spread. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't see that one, right? You know, consistent, like Houston, look, on the road, they're a different team, right? They go to Carolina and they struggled. I think he had 140 yards. Carolina played really well against them. At home, he was really good. This will be a better defense for Stroud. Pierce didn't practice again today, so they're not going to be able to run the football. But, God, he was so good last week. It's hard to go against them.
How good is the AFC North right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and the best part about the AFC North is the fact that Lamar Jackson didn't play his best game the other night. And he wasn't near as good as he typically is, right? And then we got Cleveland, which Watson didn't have to play very good. They won easily. And then you got Pittsburgh, which wins ugly. And then Cincinnati, to me, Burrow could be the MVP.
Such a fun division.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Now that we are halfway through the NFL season, there are 10 teams in the National Football League who are either at 500 or just a game over. So, Michael, we're going to go through these 10 teams, and I want you to tell me if you think the glass is half full and you feel like there is optimism and upside about where a team could go, or if the glass is half empty and you think that it's headed downhill fast for some of these teams. I think I already know the answer to the first one I'm going to hit you with, but I got to ask the question anyways. The New York Jets are 4-4. Michael, glass half full or glass half empty?
I think the glass is half empty. Like, I think I don't understand what this sense of going to make the playoffs. Like, why not do what Kyle Shanahan did? Get a top 5 pick, add somebody great to your team, and go on with life. I mean, you know, here's the sad thing, right? I know Rodgers is coming back next year, but just hypothetically, say they end up with 4 wins and they go 4-13. They could end up with a top 5 pick. They could get their quarterback of the future and have their quarterback of the present. What would be wrong with that? You know, what would be wrong with that? I don't understand this urgency that they're going to, like, they think they're going to make, they're not beating anybody.
The only thing that I would say would be wrong with that is you don't want to draft another quarterback and upset Aaron Rodgers, because we know how that has affected him in the past, Michael. But
well, this is
it's a different Aaron Rodgers though now, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is time for, you know, you're a senior in college. It's probably time for you to end it, right?
To make the playoffs, the Jets are plus 250, to miss minus 310, and that number is what it is for a reason. How about the Buffalo Bills? You wrote in your column yesterday, the Bills have lost five straight games against the spread. Reminder, this is not the same Bills that we have seen in the past, so it sounds like you think the glass is half empty.
I do. I look, they have Josh Allen, so that glass can fill back up at any moment that they need it to because he'll make enough plays. But boy, Stormy, when you look at this schedule coming down here now, you know, they're not a good road team, right? They have not played well on the road. They lose to New England. I mean, they gave up 29 points to New England. New England typically scores. They can't score. That's the first time they were. There's only two times they've been over 20, right? And so they got, they give up that many points to New England. I mean, this line at Denver, it's a freaky line. I know we got to go quick here, but
fine.
Are they 7.5 points better than anybody? I don't know. Then they got the Jets, and then they got Philadelphia.
And yet still, based on how we've seen them struggle, only a game back in the AFC East because Miami can't seem to beat good teams. So this division we thought was going to be a juggernaut has been a little bit off. But to win the division, plus 270, make the playoffs, still a minus 120 number for Buffalo. You can get even money for them to miss. The Houston Texans, Michael, 4-4 right now, 5-1 shot to win the division. They already do have one win in the head-to-head against the division leader in Jacksonville. Glass half full or glass half empty? CJ Stroud keeps setting rookie records.
I think it's half full. I think they've done a great job. They've turned it around. You know, they've got some momentum going with their offense. I mean, last week, you know, it didn't play well in the first half, and the second half, you know, just dominated the game and would have been able to easily cover for the team that played Houston if you did, because they were that good in the second half. They just didn't have their field goal kicker to make extra points or make those chip shot field goals. But look, he did a great job. And you know, one of the things is I thought people were catching on to him a little bit. But that being said, C.J. Stroud, he really rallied. And, you know, when we watched the first half of the game, we saw Todd Bowles come after him. And then the second half, Todd Bowles didn't, whether it was because of the injury or whatever to Jamal Dean, and he was scared about his cover guy. But they couldn't cover him, and he delivered strikes up and down the field.
Yeah, and with the exception of Cincinnati this week and Cleveland at home on Christmas Eve, schedule favorable. Arizona, home against the Jags, home against Denver, so they don't have to go to altitude. They're at MetLife against the Jets, but I'm not scared about that. Home and home with the Titans, TBD what Tennessee's going to be like, and at the Colts. So there's certainly some opportunity. Any interest in the 5-1 to win the division or the plus 250 to make a playoffs?
You know, they handled Jacksonville down there. I would sprinkle a little pizza money on that. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Thanks for referencing that game, though. RIP my Survivor entry, but it's fine.
Sorry.
We'll move on.
I apologize.
There has been, obviously, turnover with the Raiders organization. They're sitting 4-5 right now, coming off an important win this past weekend. Glass half full or glass half empty based on what you saw in game one?
Well, I mean, they certainly had a lot more energy, and they're playing a rookie quarterback. Their defense still isn't very good. But the way they have this energy and the way they'll play with some momentum, you've got to feel like that. Look, I kept saying this all year long. I mean, when they were 3-3, everybody wanted the coach fired. I mean, for the players, since McDaniels got there, there's been this movement to get them fired. Nobody bought into them. Nobody liked it. And for whatever reason that is, but that cloud lays over top of your organization. And it's unfortunate for Josh, who's a friend of mine, but it's just the way it was. I mean, last year, there were rumors he was getting fired last year on a 6-year contract. And so that momentum affects the players. And I think you saw it on Sunday, the way they played without that clout.
Their updated season win total is just 6.5, juiced to the over at minus 130. So if you think they can keep up some of this energy, could be a worthwhile bet. How about the Atlanta Falcons, who have made their quarterback change? They're sticking with Taylor Heineke again this week, Michael, sitting 4-5 right now in a division that I think we can still say is pretty wide open at this point. Glass half full or glass half empty?
You know, I think it's half empty, because how do you have any hope with Tyler Heineke? Really, seriously. I mean, he made a mistake in the game. Where are we going with this, right? We spent all offseason telling everybody we don't need a quarterback, and now we're back to Taylor Heineke. I think it's half empty, Stormy. I really do. You disagree?
I think whether you have Taylor Heinicke or Desmond Ridder in there, your coach is still not utilizing the other weapons that you have offensively to give you the best chance. So I agree with you.
No,
I think
that's true.
I think glass half empty from that standpoint, regardless of who you have at quarterback, it's going to be an uphill battle. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Interesting situation here. You lose your starting quarterback, Kirk Cousins, for the season with an Achilles injury. In steps Josh Dobbs, who within 5 days finds a way to lead you to a win in a game-winning drive. Could they have an opportunity now to be a playoff team? They are 8-1 to win the division, plus 140 to make the playoffs.
Well, here's how I'll answer this question. Derek Stevens just put Kevin O'Connell's pitcher back up at every entrance of Circa. All right, he's not coming in anymore. Derek don't want him in anymore. Like, he got lucky all of a sudden again, right? Didn't he? I mean, he got
That's
lucky.
So good.
He did. You got lucky. He's bad. That luck rating came right back for him. And he's been, you know, he was unlucky earlier in the year, and now he's back to being lucky again. Look, he did a great job. I think Brian Flores has done a great job. I don't think they're an overly talented team. They can't run the football. Eventually, that's going to show up, right? It's a nice story that Dobbs came in. But when Dobbs was good, what was going on? James Conner was running the football, helping him. Right? When he lost James Conner, he lost his job. He doesn't have a running game in Minnesota.
No, that's an interesting point for sure. But I would like them to continue to be lucky and to continue to have those posters outside the door, not letting him into Circa because he's got that lucky rabbit's foot. Because you know, in the preseason, I took the Viking season win total over.
I know what
so
you did.
So your girl
I know
needs
you
to
did.
Get there. Please, Josh Dobbs, continue to do pastronaut things. I love that name. Thank you, NASA, for the trademark. How about the Los Angeles Chargers? Your favorite guy, Brandon Staley. Obviously, a lot of talent. Justin Herbert, we know what he's capable of. Hasn't shown it lately. 4-4, glass half full, glass half empty.
You know, I want to say half full because I sit there and I watch him the other night and I say, you know what? I really think so. I think they should be able to compete. And then I watch that game plan against it. Now, look, the Jets are good, but so is Herbert. I think they really miss Mike Williams. And the first, Quentin Johnson from TCU, he has not played well at all. And when they don't have Josh Palmer and it's all on Keenan Allen, man, that offense didn't look good. That was somewhat disappointing the other night.
Yeah, Quentin Johnson's been on a milk carton for sure. How about the Saints real quickly, 5-4, glass half full or empty?
I think the glass is half full. I mean, they're good defensively, right? They are good defensively. Even though you and I don't trust Carr, but they don't trust Carr either. That's why they storm in with our man Taysom Hill in there to take in some of the pressure in the red zone. They finally figured out, ooh, maybe we'll substitute him. Isn't that a good idea?
No, thank you, Derek Carr. Taysom Hill will be the red zone guy. That's all we need. We don't need you. Last two, Colts or Commanders, both of them sitting at 4-5. Who do you think has the better glass? Both empty?
Empty, half empty. Let's be clear. Empty, empty, empty. I mean, we're not going anywhere, Gardner Minshew. The defense isn't very good. They'll probably beat the Patriots over there because I think the Patriots have checked out on their season. If you watch them play against Washington, there was no juice or no life. Now they've got to go to Frankfurt, Germany. Ouch. See, what happens is when you lose faith in your quarterback, your team fickles apart, right? That's what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo with the Raiders. And nobody, you know, they didn't feel it, right? They wanted Aiden O'Connell. I think that's the same thing in New England. And I think it's the same thing in Indianapolis. You can't trust Minshew.
Yeah.
Elliot, don't listen to that.
And even for the Commanders, like, they're already offloading assets. Josh Harris is preparing for next year. So feels half empty to me as well. We'll be right back.